Good morning and welcome to the Friday, June 3rd edition of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my good friend and co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How are you doing, Tony?
Excellent, Ray. How are you doing today?
My day's a little better because I found out that bees are fish in California. Had you heard that?
Why would you break me this early in the show? We're 10 seconds in the show, and let me throw something out at you that's going to stop you short. I think you said bees are fishing. Fish? What?
Bees are fish only in California. So California's Endangered Species Act, they wanted to add bees as endangered species, which bees are rightfully so endangered species. But the CESA, the California Endangered Species Act, only allows for certain classifications of animals, which include mollusks, amphibians, fish, mammals. So bees, insects, were never part of the act. Now, in a swift act of genius, they did this correlation. Check this out. Bees are invertebrates. Fish. Some fish are invertebrates. Therefore, bees are fish. And so they put bees under fish for the Endangered Species Act. I mean, that's the kind of funny math that'll end you up in jail with a Ponzi scheme. I'm just saying. But I love it.
I don't know what to say. California, I've got two things. One, what is your capacity for self-sabotage, setting yourself up? They do have some logic of the correlation, but I would also like to remind everyone that we are the result of 4 billion years of evolutionary success, and bees are now fish.
I appreciate the mental gymnastics you have to do to get from bees to fish. So I appreciate that. But we do have more serious news, more serious research. Tony, why don't you
let's get to the news. Take
us into our first story.
MSPAlert.com has talked about in an article what Verizon has come up regarding ransomware breaches, and the results are stunning. Ransomware breaches climbed by 13% last year, marking a greater jump than the last 5 years combined. Verizon Business has illustrated quite a few points. Some of these points are 62% of system intrusions came through compromising an organization's partner. We've talked about that in this show, but we didn't realize that 62% was that number, and we're going to get into that more. Here are some additional findings that are just amazing. Compromised credentials is roughly 50% of all breaches. Phishing is slightly less than 20%, while exploiting vulnerabilities is about 5%, and botnets are less than 1%. 73% of data breaches originate from external sources, 39% from partners, and 18% internal. 80% of actors in the breaches are external, 20% internal, 1% are multiple, and less than 1% from partners. The motive of external agents in external breaches was 90% personal or financial gain, 3% disagreement or protest, 2% fun, curiosity or pride, and 1% grudge or personal offense. 25% of total breaches are the result of social engineering attacks. Add human error and the misuse of privilege. The human element accounts for 82% of analyzed breaches over the past year. Ray, there are so many questions that I have about this, but it just mentioned that social engineering, which involves a person on the endpoint, is directly responsible for 1/4, 25% of the attacks. Is this speaking directly to our audience, the MSP community? Is this a new campaign to attract new customers, to impose new services about, social engineering hacks, about phishing scams, about hacks outside of the technical component, which the MSP should be involved in as well? What are your feelings about this?
I'm sorry, you pointed out that I made errors and I held a grudge, so I'm not listening anymore.
That's only 1% of the time, though. It's only 1%. And I've got my fish that I'm going to throw at you. I mean, the bees.
I'm married. I know I'm wrong more than 1%. I'm told regularly. No, but seriously speaking, I mean, this It seems like I almost feel like I want to stop doing security stories because it feels like we're repeating the same thing over and over. I love the stats. I love the numbers. While scary, I don't see anything really surprising. It's just putting it a little more focused, a little more, it's adding a little more clarity to us, letting us know where we need to spend our time as far as education, as far as training, as far as user awareness. It's always important to know where the issues are coming from, and a good MSP is going to go back to their clients and say, "This is the actual data." Because a lot of times, you know how it is. My cousin's friend, dog walker's nephew's niece told me something, and now bees are fish, right? So, but going back to this, when an MSP can take actual data and say, "Look, this is Verizon. This is a Verizon report. It's not just me saying you need to do these things. It's not just me saying this is where we need to watch out." But now we have clear details where we need to look, where we need to apply a little extra care and tender loving care. I think that's helpful to MSPs. I think that's helpful to help them get the message across because I've seen it over and over again. And we'll go back to MFA where sometimes the client doesn't see the actual MSP as the subject matter expert, as somebody they should be listening to, as a source of truth. So when they have data like this, it just goes to support the MSP's stance. And I think this data is valuable for that reason.
I agree. I think it's saying things that we all know. It's not saying anything revolutionary, but it is clearing the white noise, and it is adding a little bit more clarity on the importance of certain things. And being an MSP, being in security, talking to the last mile, the customer, your life is like a Rubik's cube. You line everything up on one side, and then you realize the other sides are all messed up. So you're constantly in this uphill battle, pushing the boulder up the hill until the end of the next month. It's time to do it again. And that's a repetitive story. But security awareness training, it's been there, it's been available to our audience. But maybe this is a push, maybe this is an article, a statistic that should be going out to all of your customers, because security awareness training is literally 1/4 of the breaches out of the gate. That's a statistic that's brought up by a third party. And I'd be interested to see what the results are, if this would attract additional customers for the MSP community. Please, please chime in on this. Let us know your input.
And
Ray.
also, we had the previous story with Connor Swam of Fin Security talking about this, the human risk factor.
I was
So we'll
just
link
going
in
to
the
bring
show
that up.
notes.
I
Yeah,
was like,
we'll
Ray,
link in the
he's your
show notes.
friend. Perfect idea.
Yeah, so we'll link in the show notes the link to the last time he was on talking about this. He's definitely a subject matter expert on the case, so
Well,
go check it out.
speaking of experts and something that's always there, some things change.
They say the only thing in life that's guaranteed are death and taxes, right? So Azure AD, which is Azure Active Directory, it's identification access management source of truth for Microsoft Cloud products. It's getting a new name because that's what it does. Azure AD is now part of Entra, Entra. This is going to be their identity verification platform. It's going to be Azure AD is going to be a component of this. This is supposed to be an all-encompassing identity access management platform, which is going to include identification access for applications, for identities. It's going to provide additional features such as limiting access to only what's necessary, all while supposedly delivering a simplified experience. Also, the Entra, or the formerly known Azure Active Directory Verifiable Credentials, that's a mouthful, is being renamed to Entra Verified ID, and it'll be coming out of beta in August. It's been beta for quite some time. Tony, let me give me a second to log into my Microsoft Live. I mean my Microsoft Passport. I mean my personal account. I mean my work account, which also has a same email address. Microsoft's been struggling with this for a very long time. Are they finally, like, what hope do you have that they're going to get this right this time? Because I agree with the goals. I think they're fantastic, but it's a hard thing to solve. You think they're capable?
Well, Ray, you've got excellent points across the board. And I think what everyone has to understand is when a company is developing so many diverse product sets to address, to be adopted by so many different types of people, industries, and it's consumed, the evolution is limitless in every one of those. Bringing everything back to a centralized point is not an easy task. And doing that from a integration perspective is borderline impossible, at least we've seen in today's world. But rebranding everything so everyone has the understanding that Exchange and Link, which is then Skype, which is then Teams, you know, bringing that all together with OneDrive, which used to be part of Box and a variety of other functions, bringing all of this together, Power BI and everything else in one family.
Was it part of Box?
Well, Microsoft invested heavily in Box and then spun out a portion of it. Yeah. So that was years ago. So I originally thought Box was going to be acquired into that, into the 365 family. And so how it evolved into a OneDrive fascinated me. But neither here nor there. At the end of the day, from a marketing perspective, putting all together is just as difficult as from a technical perspective, synchronizing or pulling everything together in the center. So whether you have a single frictionless way to procure, purchase, and manage all of those services while still addressing the end feature set and functionality to the end customer that is ever, ever, ever expanding. And I think this is one of those steps in the right direction. I'm really curious how they're going to handle this because it's the heartbeat. It is the brains of everything. Everything, the lowest common denominator is the authentication. And if Entra?
You're making me hungry for lasagna for breakfast, man.
What is Entra? Entra going to be a part of, if it's just a part of something, if AD is a part of it. I'm really curious because identity management servers have become so prolific out there and so important. And once you staple yourself to one particular architecture, it's going to be very difficult to deviate. Is this the end point where everyone's going to want to be? I'm curious. Ray, your thoughts?
It reminds me of there's that website SSO.tax. Where, websites, because, using Azure or Google for single sign-on, that's a thing. I mean, we support, Azure single sign-on. We use it for a lot of things. It makes identity and access management much easier because we have a central authority for all the credentials or for all the access and the group memberships and all that stuff. But there's a class of vendors out there that charge extra for allowing you to use these SSO providers or these IDOT providers set up is or SAML. Now, as these mechanisms become more valuable, because now we're not just saying you can log in. Now we're saying we're going to create, this is a step towards zero trust networking, right? This is a step towards SACE, secure application software edge. I'm bad with the acronyms, but, this is a step towards those things where you're now saying you're not only logging in, but now we're going to make sure you only have access to those things you need, only these minute details of those applications. So to those vendors that were only just doing it for, that were charging a premium to add this capability, I think this is going to further support their reasoning behind it, saying, oh, it's so valuable, we can definitely charge extra, which I think goes against the benefits of security. Either way, we're at the time for this story, so I want to hear from the MSPs that are actually affected by this. I want to hear, how does this affect you guys? Tell us, let us know. Are we off base? Is it something you're excited about? Or is this the end is near? Who knows?
That's all of you. Every MSP is going to be affected by this. I want to hear from all of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of being affected, I'm going to go sign up for my Yammer certification.
YAML. And in Microsoft News, as listed in channeldailynews.com, five new Microsoft certifications were announced in Build 2022. Microsoft announced these five new certifications at their conference last week. The new certs focus on a diverse range of topics, including cybersecurity, automation, data analytics, and to prepare users for the future roles. The exams cost about $165 US per, and the list of those certifications are Microsoft Power Automate, RPA Developer Associate Certificate, Microsoft Cybersecurity Architect Expert Certificate, Microsoft 365 Exchange Online Support Engineer Specialty Certificate, Microsoft Azure Support Engineer for Connectivity Specialty Certificate, and Microsoft Azure Enterprise Data Analyst Associate Certificate. Ray, I'm excited about this because we hire quite a few individuals with certs specific in the Microsoft arena, just like everyone else is looking for. And finding someone with Power Automate experience with a successful certification on the back end by the very company they're going to be working with on their tools is exciting for me. Is this something that's going to make the community better? Is this going to strengthen the MSP community and the customer base that they serve in the way that I anticipate? What's your perspective on this?
You know, this seems like very smart play for Microsoft in the sense that Microsoft certs are nothing new, right? I had my MCSE back when it was stood for, you know, engineer back in 2003, you know, and then they took it away and they brought it back and it stood for expert. They do these things. They create certs, and the certs kind of, there's an ebb and flow based on what products are of interest to Microsoft. Now, this makes a lot of sense to me because if you notice, you said Azure a lot in those certs. You know, these absolutely make sense because Microsoft wants to push their cloud. They want to push their Entra, right? I didn't see an Entra cert, but I'm sure it'll happen eventually. You know, Microsoft wants to do this. They want to create experts that understand the platform, understand the stack, that are then going to adopt the stack that they're experts at, which results in more Microsoft sales. It's absolutely a smart play for the vendor, or for the MSP that's hiring those individuals that have those certifications. It's going to create this, you know, self-serving circle where they have a need for Microsoft Azure experts. They're going to hire people with the certs or train their people to get the certs, and then they're going to use it more because they have paid for people that have these certs. And they're going to start selling more Microsoft products, which means they're going to have more need for people that have the education and experience. So, you know, it's a smart play on Microsoft's side. It makes absolute sense to me. My only problem with the certs is they don't last. Continue education is a thing, but like I just said, Microsoft certified systems engineer became Microsoft certified solutions expert. And, you know, it's had that cadence, and, you know, we've had MCDT and others that have come and go. So while it's great to get trained and educated, don't think that this is going to be the be all end all, right? There's always going to be that next thing you're going to have to do. But for now, fantastic.
Do you think that the need or the desire, the chase for those certifications is almost placing a gamification on the evolution of a new revenue stream while simultaneously in the guise of, hey, you're doing this for the betterment of the community? I'm just trying to figure out if hey, who has the most certs, who has the most badges, it looks more attractive in the eyes of some. It's almost the gamification side of it, but simultaneously we could play that out as this is for the betterment of the community and the you know, the MSP employee themselves, not to mention the customer that they're serving. I'm trying to figure out, is there a different perspective than the blatant one that they see that, hey, we're getting a cert, we're checking the box, and we're being better? Is there an ulterior motive behind the scenes that we're not thinking about?
I mean, it makes sense. If you're going to go get a job, HR likes to see certs that show subject matter expertise. At the end of the day, you need training to be able to do your job. That doesn't change anything. So being able to, all the cert says is that you took a specific set of vendor training and you passed according to whatever they saw fit, whatever that criterion was. Great. Still going to have to learn other things. It's still not an indicator of an employee that's going to be great long term. So I don't think it's anything amazing. It's just something you have to do.
Yeah, I love when, you know, in the days of being interviewed, when they say, you know, we like your interview, and or we like the interview process because of your resume, and I would remind them that I am not immune to kind words, and the genesis of those kind words were on my resume, which kind of leads into that. But let's talk about some other mentionable stories that we didn't have a chance. We have so many stories, so many things to talk about. We keep the short compressed and talking directly to our MSP community. Ray, what's up next?
Absolutely. So our notable mentions, I have two for you. First is the CyberDrain Improved Partner Portal, CIPP, has a new release, now with more tequila. It's version 2.61, nicknamed Tequila Sunrise. Features an easier management interface, better MFA management with alerting, and a cleaner interface. We'll include the link to Kelvin's LinkedIn post below, which includes a video of the new features. Also,
you had me at tequila, and I love Simon's picture in that. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Also, a Bleeping Computer reports on a Microsoft Windows Search 0 day added to MS Protocol Nightmares, per their words. We're leaving this as a notable mention and not a main story because I don't feel that this is actually very. This is not the zero click thing we went through with John Hammond earlier this week. This actually requires clicking. This shows a window with a different name. It's just leveraging tools within the Microsoft toolset to be able to open a window and display external resources that could then be leveraged to. That could then be leveraged to compromise your system, but it is not a zero click as it was before. So I invite you to read up on it, but it is not the end of the world that the earlier security story was. Tony, what about you, man? What's notable in your area of the woods?
Making this really quick, Microsoft has released their next version of Microsoft Exchange Server, standalone, not in Office 365, and it's not till 2025, which begs the question of, why are you installing it in-house? There's so many questions. For those of you who don't know my background, it's extensive. 2025, 2 years ago, Microsoft announced that the next version, the Exchange Server, et cetera, will be the second half of 2021. And things have been delayed. There's going to be more follow-up on this story. I'm really interested to see the details. These are fresh off the press. So keep updating your Exchange Server. In the next mention, speaking of Microsoft, is your Windows license even legal? Should you care? Microsoft is really clamping down on some of these licensing concerns, but they're really pushing everyone to go in and check to see if the license is truly a valid license. There's been a proliferation of license distributions out there that are not valid, and those being shut off are going to, of course, have effects internally to you and your customer base. There's listing ways to check this, but with the new Windows 11 security components built into this, you're going to see less and less of the, let's say, freely distributed licenses available. There's an article posted in the notes. We strongly recommend that you read this.
And that takes us to our community corner. We have some good feedback from the MSPs, and we appreciate it. First, we have Alex K from YouTube commenting on the May 20th episode, advising try enabling app passwords with Microsoft MFA turned off. Let's say dual MFA turned on. It's not going to happen, so you're stuck managing two MFA solutions instead of one. Yes, Microsoft is forcing the use of their product. And that goes back to Duo and Microsoft have been longstanding in their going back and forth. Microsoft does not recognize Duo as an MFA product for one reason or another. There's plenty of articles written as to why, but it is a frustration considering almost everybody in the MSP world uses Duo or for one thing or another. We also have Derek Brawley from YouTube. Another great episode, guys. I'd much rather watch this news show than any other news show. That is high praise, and thank you so much, Derek. We absolutely appreciate it. And then we have a question from JRDNR on RMSP. Is there an audio version? Would love to subscribe, but my listening time is when I'm not in front of a screen. So that actually brings up a good point. I have some good news for you. We are wrapping up the distribution rules or the distribution methods for putting these out in podcast form. All episodes of every show for my MSP Media Network will have a video version, an audio version of the podcast, and then there will also be a combined MMN of all shows for video and all shows for audio. So you can subscribe to one or all or any which way you want and listen to it or watch it exactly how you want. We should have that within next 2 weeks, and we'll be sure to announce it.
I really want to add on to everyone that the quality of production that's on the back end is amazing. All of the fades that you see on the screens, the maximized screenshot, the scrolling of what's happening, the feedback that comes from you, the back end conversations that occur based on that feedback, it's incredibly well organized and orchestrated. The feedback is critical and it's driving things forward. I can't thank the audience enough. Let's jump into the community events.
There you go. Speaking of stuff that's coming up. So in June 6th through June 9th, we have the in-person event RSA Conference 2022, San Francisco. June 6th through June 8th, also in-person event IT Nation Secure in Orlando. Yours truly and Simon will be there. I'm sure Tony will make an appearance. Come hang out with us. And maybe we might even do dispatch from IT Nation Secure. Who knows? On June 7th, MSP Dispatch, hosted by the MSP Media Network, June 7th at 5:30 p.m., the Tech Bar and MSP Geek Live Meetup. It'll be live streamed on YouTube and Facebook, and it will also be an in-person event inside IT Nation Secure in the Daytona 1 or 2, something like that. It's on the schedule. Daytona 2 will be in the room doing this live in front of real people. And then June 10th, we have the MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. And that's a lot going on. Tony, thanks so much for all your insights. Thanks for hearing me out about my bees. I appreciate that. I had to get that
fish off
my chest.
They're fish. They're fish. My fish.
I'm going to go get a bees aquarium. I don't know what to do. And I think that's a great moment to wrap up on MSP Dispatch. Thank you so much, MMN family. We appreciate you. Until next week, take care of yourselves and each other.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.